Well, good morning. How are you today? Good. My name is Bruce, and I love getting to hang out with your pastor and your staff, and it's my pleasure to get to be with you. Before I read our scripture this morning, I want to ask you a question. What is the mission of the church? What is our purpose? Or I might ask it another way, why does the church exist at all? So I want to read the scripture and then pray together and then explore some of that this morning together, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul writes this to this struggling church. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like those not having the law. Though I'm free from God's law, I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I've become all things to all people, that by all possible means I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel. So let's pray together and then learn more about God's word. Father in heaven, for this good church today, I pray blessings. I pray wisdom. I pray insight. I pray for their staff today, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Blaine and Pastor David and others that provide leadership. God, thank you for vision and work and ministry and mission that goes on here. God, thank you for how they are impacting the community. God, thank you that they have a vision that's bigger than themselves. And Lord, I pray that we might rejoice in all those things that we see in our fellowship and in our church, that we look at and we see your satisfaction and your joy, that we would rejoice in it. But Father, that we would never forget that high calling, that upward calling that we have in Christ is ever forward, ever onward, until that last day when we step into eternity with Jesus in heaven. So, Father, I pray by the power of the Spirit of God, you would illuminate this scripture to our hearts today, to this fellowship. Lord, as they think not only about what is happening today, but what will be happening in the next months and years ahead, as they plan and strategize, as they pray and work through problems and issues and questions, God, that all of that might be infused by the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. God, that everything that they do, everything that we do together will be like Paul, that it will all be for the sake of the gospel. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just before we get to kind of answering our pop quiz this morning, I want to tell you it has been my pleasure to get to spend some time with your pastor and some of your staff. What a great team you have. I got to take another little tour this morning of the building, and you got it going on. That is some good stuff, and you've done a really great thing with service and ministry to those impacted by the latest flooding. It seems like here in Jeff Davis and Calcasieu Parish and our part of Southwest Louisiana, we've had more than our share of rain and wind and water the last 2 years. And Bethel Church has just done a spectacular job of loving people that we wouldn't have any reason to help them, serve them, do anything for them, except just the gospel compels us to. And so So good job. You ought to rejoice in that and then get ready to press on to the next thing, right? Yeah, I can tell this is early service, yeah. All right. Pastor tried to warn me about that, but you know. Well, what's the answer to the question? Why does the church exist? And frequently, the kind of answer you get is that the church exists so that we can do programs, right? The church exists so we can have worship. Church exists so that we can preach. Church exists so that we can take offerings and have Bible study and discipleship. The church exists because of programs. Well, in this passage and in many other passages, what you find in the scripture is that's not a good answer. The biblical answer doesn't match the answer we tend to give. Now, part of the reason I know that's the answer we tend to give is because I talk to churches every day, different churches, big churches, little churches, healthy churches, unhealthy churches, growing churches, dying churches, old churches, young churches. And one of the common problems is a lack of understanding of why the church exists. Well, some people, theologians, pastors, professors, academicians, have been trying to answer that question, and they seized on an older term called Meseo Dei. And if I had remembered to bring my PowerPoint slide, it'd pop up and there'd be this really cool looking slide that said Meseo Dei, and you would see it, and it would be, you know, be compelling because you'd be able to look at it. And it wouldn't be hard to take that, and if you have a little bit of sense of French or Spanish or anything like that, you know, it all comes from that underlying language of Latin, and you would say Meseo, that must be something about mission, and Dei, D-E-I, that must be something about God. So it is the mission of God. That's how it's been translated. It started back in the 1930s and 40s. It was kind of a social gospel, revolutionary gospel, changing the world. But when we read the scripture, I like the term. I just don't find the definition quite the same in the scripture. I wouldn't translate it the mission of God. I would translate it this way. I would translate it the sending of God. The sending of God. And it answers the question, why does the church exist? We are the sending of God. Now just back up to the moment of creation. God makes all of his creation. Jesus speaks and the world comes into existence. And what happens next? Jesus walks into the creation to meet with the highlight of his creation. He is sent to his creation. The Creator is sent to the creation. And then from heaven, when we need to be redeemed, what does the Father do? He sends the Son. And the church exists because of the sending of God. You could say it another way. The purpose of the church is not our gathering. The purpose of the church is our scattering. Churches that are dying exist to meet on Sunday morning at whatever time that they meet, in whatever place that they meet, to sing whatever songs that they sing and go through whatever ritual that it is that they go through. And that is their mission, to gather and to meet. But that is not the biblical mission. That is not the mission of God. That is not the sending of God. We have a church because God has a mission. You exist as a church because God has a mission. And in the same way that he sends his Son, he sends pastors. He sends elders. He sends leaders who are called and anointed and set apart to extend the mission, because we are sent on his behalf. We are scattered on his behalf. And so the gathering is a part of what we do. It is, and it's an important part. The scripture talks about assembling ourselves together, and the scripture talks about gathering for prayer and worship and all of those things. But that is merely the beginning of the scattering, of the sending of God. It is not the end. We can't put a period at the end of that and stop, say, the end, repeat as needed. No, it is the beginning. It's like the old black preacher used to pray, God, let us know that the benediction is not the end of our service, but the beginning of our service. The sending of God, the mission of God, the church exists because there is a mission, not the other way around. We don't have a mission because we have a church. We have a church because God has a mission. One writer said this. He says, we've come to see that the mission is not merely an activity of the church. Rather, mission is the result of God's initiative rooted in God's purposes to restore and heal creation. Mission means sending. And it is the central theme. Listen again. Mission means sending, and it is the central theme of the scripture that describes the purpose of God's action in human history. Now, church, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to tell you, good job. Most churches I talk with, most pastors I talk with, most situations I get into, they're not healthy. They're struggling. They're dying. Bethel's one of the fastest growing churches in Southwest Louisiana. You've got great things happening here. You should rejoice in that. You should smile. You should be thanking God for the blessings that are being poured out here. You should thank God for a pastor and a staff who are leading you so faithfully and so much in the direction of the gospel and the mission of God. You should rejoice in that, but we should never stop there. Just like with the gathering, we don't put a period at the end and say, see you next week. We take all those things that have been done that God has blessed us with and that God has blessed others through us because we have been scattering, we have been a part of the sending, and we say, okay, God, what's next? What's next? Remember the Great Commission? Remember Jesus there with the disciples and it's after the resurrection and he's about to go back up into heaven and he talks to them about how the gospel is going to be spread to the ends of the earth. Well, I suspect there are some homes in Jennings, Louisiana, in Jeff Davis Parish, Louisiana, that are a part of the ends of the earth that the gospel needs to go to, that the gospel needs to penetrate, that the gospel needs to transform. And God is sending you. Sending you. And you and you and you. Sending me. Until that day, when the scripture says it, it seems to sound just like this, that there'll be that day when the last person hears the gospel and a decision is made, and then the sky cracks open and the angels shout and the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back. Until that day, we're not done. The mission is not done. The scattering is not done. The sending is not finished. It's not complete. So we rejoice in everything that God has blessed through us. And we take a little bit on Sunday morning to say, woo! And then we see what's next. Right? Because there's more to do. Because we are not here. We don't exist so that we can get the check marks. We exist because God has a mission and we are sent through that mission. So we could say it like this. The purpose of the church is to be the mission of God. The purpose of a believer is to be the mission of God. It is to be the sent one. That's my assignment. That's the assignment of your pastor. That's the assignment of every person on the payroll. That's the assignment of every leader and teacher. It's the assignment of everyone who's in attendance today. It's the assignment of everyone who's a member today. But it is the assignment of every believer who names the name of Jesus. We are the sent ones sent to carry out, to be the mission that God has called us to. Jesus goes into the world, leaves heaven, is sent by the Father to redeem the world. That is our purpose. That is our mission. That is our assignment, if you will. And we have to be about it diligently. Now, I just had a couple of things just from the text that I want to talk about specifically. All of this is in the text but that we've been talking about, but a couple of things. First one is this. Do you see the pattern where Paul says, to this person, to this group, I became like them. And why did he become like them? That he might have an opportunity to win them to Christ. And then there's another group. Same thing. And another group. The same. Have you noticed how they seem so opposite? To those that are under the law, I became like under the law. And to those who are not under the law, I became like those not under the law. Can I just ask you another question? It's a great day for pop quizzes, right? Who are you becoming like for the purpose of winning them to Jesus? Now, this is not my official disaster relief embroidered yellow shirt. You know, it just happened. I grabbed a yellow shirt out of the closet today. Maybe I've just disaster relief been on my brain lately. I'm not sure. It may have also been this was the only one I had clean. I forget to put things in the where Penny will wash them or put them in the dirty clothes or take them to the laundry or something. And we go in on disaster relief and we help people. We feed them. Y'all been feeding folks. Take them supplies. I tell people pretty regularly, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. I love to get to do this when I'm around governmental folks. You know, tell us who you are. We're Cary Baptist Association. We are unapologetically Christian. Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. And so when your neighbor's got 3 feet of water in their house, the best thing to do is to not show up and hand them just a Bible, but to show up with a mop and a bucket and a squeegee and a shovel and help them clean up their house. And we do that. You've been doing that. Help them put everything back together again. Put their life back together. It's part of loving them in that tangible way because that's what they need. Now, it just so happens we don't ignore the spiritual need as well. Right? Some of you have been on those teams. What do we do at the end? We always have a chaplain. We always give them a Bible. We always have everybody sign it. And we ask them for permission to pray at the end. And I have yet to be to the house that a homeowner didn't come out and take that little paperback Bible, right, and just get teary over the fact that somebody would come and help them do this work and refuse to take any kind of money for it. Why do we do that? Because God has sent us. Because the Father has sent you. Because Jesus has sent His church. Because the Lord has sent this church to go out and to bless. And we become what people need for the purpose of the gospel. It's striking, isn't it? I became under the law. I became free. Some of you, like me, struggle with I became weak. I got to tell you, that's pretty irritating right there. I mean, I just wish Paul had left that one out. Right? I was doing fine on the law or the not law. The Jew or the Gentile. I was doing great on all that, but Lord, I don't want to be weak. I've never been weak in my life. Now listen, I've been wrong before, but I have never been in doubt. I'm functionally in charge whether anybody else thinks I'm in charge or not, right? You know some people like that. Some of you are people like that. Don't ask me to be weak. And the Holy Spirit says, Bruce, it's not your mission. It's not your church. It's not your sending. And sometimes you have to be weak because that's what the mission needs. So if I can, let me talk just for a second about a couple of things practically. This is how I see these things working out in churches and in Baptist churches and in churches in Louisiana and here in this church. The first observation is this, that the mission is more important than your methods. The mission is more important than your methods. I don't remember the last time I said we've never done it that way before. But my staff all have permission to kick me in the shins anytime I do. The world is changing so rapidly, so rapidly. Something like that all of the knowledge in the world that has ever been gained, 50% of it has been gained in the last 3 years. The world is changing so rapidly. I look at my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a farmer in western Kansas. And you can go up there and you can find the cemetery where his father is and his father and his father. And on my great-grandmother's side, you can go back about 7 or 8 generations to my 7 times great-grandfather. In the Gregory Cemetery. And you know what they did? They were farmers. They farmed wheat and a few other crops to feed cows and a little bit of corn. And this grandfather did it. And this grandfather did it. And this grandfather did it. And so on and so on and so on. And you can just go on and on like that. Culture, our world, was incredibly stable. Not just for years, but for hundreds of years. Not quite today, right? How many of you love to look at your grandkids on Facebook, right? It's okay. You can be in on that. Yeah. Teenagers don't use Facebook anymore. You know why? Because grandma's on there, right? Do you know that Facebook's only 10 years old? Things are changing with technology so rapidly. Our culture is changing so rapidly. Used to, you could grow up in your own little town and never know what was going on in the rest of the world. Now, you can't help it. You know everything that's going on. The world has changed. Our methods have to change to match the gospel that is the same in every generation. In other words, our mission, the sending of God, remains the same, and our methods should change necessarily because of it. Why? Because the mission is more important than the methods. Now, I've got a whole long training that I do on the difference between what and why. Pastor was telling me a bit about the sermon series he did recently on why. I'm going to have to get a copy of that. Sounds awesome. Sometime in church or sometime in your family, just start asking the question, why do we do that? And why do we do that that way? You get all kinds of crazy answers sometimes. Why do we have a church? Because Jesus was sent to seek and save that which was lost. And he has sent you. He has sent this church. He has sent me as a part of it. Second thing out of this that I look at, my thought is that we've got to figure out a way to love people that are different. We've got to figure out a way to love people that are different. Now, if you live in a small town, which Jennings probably qualifies that way, right? You know a lot of people, and you grew up a lot. Some of you folks that are my age and above, you struggle with a couple of things about the way people look, right? Tattoos, piercings, where the belt gets buckled on their, you know, wherever it gets buckled, right? Clothes that are too loose, too tight, too short, too low. I mean, you know, all of that. You've got trouble. You've got some trouble with it. And you're trying to get over it. You're praying that the Holy Spirit will deliver you from that, but you're just not quite there yet. It's okay. I confess. A young pastor friend of mine had this on his Facebook recently, and I had to quote it. He said, "All you people out there looking at others, overlooking people, judging people," he said, "just remember that God's looking at you, overlooking people, judging." And I just thought, oh, you know. At first, I wanted to, you know, try to, you know how that is in church. Preacher says something pretty profound, and you think, oh, so-and-so needs to hear that. Well, on this one, I just thought of me immediately. It was a word for me. For some of you, this is a word for you. It's a challenge to love people that are different. To love people that are a different color, a different ethnicity, a different economic background, a different social background. I tell you what, we got some different churches. They do things different ways. I went to church not too long ago, took three offerings. Three offerings. Man, I hope one of those for the pastor, you know. Well, how do we do that? How do we get past all of that? Where our way and the way we were raised are right. And I could tell you all kinds of stories about conversations like that with my dad, but we don't really have time. But here's what I think it comes to. Is that we have to see people as valuable to Jesus. Right? When we see somebody and they're different, they don't look like us, they don't dress like us, they don't talk like us, they don't vote like us, they don't think about politics the way we do, but they're valuable to Jesus. And Jesus died for them. And more important than anything else is that. The community is not a commodity to be won. It's not a game. There's no prize in this where we go out and, well, we're the biggest church. You know, we win. No, it is the mission. It is the mission of heaven. It is the sending of God to love people that are different. And last, I would say it drives us to this. When we understand the sending of God, the mission of God, that we are the mission of God, that it changes how we connect with the community. It drives our budget, our building, our strategies, and our planning. Now, your pastor is leading you through a process of self-examination, Holy Spirit examination, to ask God, what is it that you want us to keep doing and get better at? What do you want us to start doing? What do you want us to stop doing? What do you want us to adjust and change? As you go through that process, 100 other things need to sync up with it. Your budget. I've looked at some budgets, and I try to ask that question, why, a lot. I've looked at some budgets with churches. Why do you have this budgeted? And sometimes the answer is, well, great-grandma Susie thought that was important. And if we ever changed it, she'd roll over in her grave. I'm really praying you don't have a lady who is beloved around here named Susie, or I'd be in real big trouble, right? You get my point. You see, the mission is what drives us. And then everything else comes to serve the mission. Budget, why do we take an offering? Why do we give money? Because we're on a mission. We are the mission, and God has called us to that mission, and we serve that mission. And what happens when we need to make a change? Well, it's whatever the mission needs. Right? It is that missionary mentality. Now, church, you got a great staff. You got a great congregation. And you got a great future as long as you don't sit down and rejoice at how good it's been. Because all the victories of the last 5 years won't win any new victories in the next 5 years by themselves. The new kingdom victories, the new opportunities to lay up treasure in heaven, those things come because we recognize God is sending us. Let me ask you to just bow your head for a minute to pray. I'm going to close this here in just a second, and pastor's going to be here to receive folks if you have a public decision to make or you need to pray. But I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I want to encourage you to do this. Just make this commitment to God. Lord, I am your missionary. I know that you are sending me, and I rejoice to be sent. Father, you hear your children. You hear their prayers. You know our heart. You know our desires. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you will mold us by the mission, that we will be the sent ones. Lord, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.